is Voyager Revisited, a podcast dedicated to the Star Trek Voyager series. I'm Jean McDonald, and on each episode, I invite a Star Trek fan on to talk about Voyager. And this episode, my guest is John Chidgey, an engineer and a podcaster from Brisbane. Hi, John. Welcome to Voyager Revisited.
Well, hi, Jean. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about Voyager and Star Trek, of course. But before we get into that, would you mind telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I'm an electrical engineer, and I've been a Star Trek fan pretty much as far back as I can remember. In fact, I can't remember ever a time when I didn't watch or enjoy Star Trek in one flavor or another. I can't remember a time before that. So in any case, I also do podcasting though, from a couple of things here and there, like Causality and Pragmatic. I've been doing that for about 6 or 7 years, but this isn't about that. This is about Star Trek.
Of course it is, but you're an engineer, and a lot of people who like science and engineering like Star Trek, so it's not entirely off topic. What are your podcasts about?
The longest running podcast I've done is called Pragmatic, which is about every episode is one specific topic. So I've done a whole topic on just battery technology. I've done episodes about RSI. I did an episode of RSI with John Syracuse, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Some more unusual topics like coffee. yeah, and I've also done one on Zelda, which is just, you know. Yes. Anyway, I love Zelda as well. So I make no apology for that.
Nor should you.
And the other podcast I do that's becoming quite popular is called Causality. And that's when I look at the cause and effect of major incidents in history. And I've covered everything from things like the Challenger disaster to some of the mainstays like Titanic.
Yep.
And I've done some ones that are a little bit less known, like the Milford Haven explosion and I suppose more recently I did Chernobyl, which was, I think, bolstered a lot by all the popularity there from the HBO series.
Yeah.
So, and that's more of an engineering focus, and I try to look at things that people could have done to prevent the incident. So
that's I'm definitely going to follow up and check out that podcast because I've always been, like, since I was a child, a Titanic kind of obsessive buff because it was so, you know, as a little kid finding the article in the encyclopedia. And because I've watched a lot of Titanic related YouTube videos, documentaries and stuff, that YouTube started feeding me aviation disasters. And I weirdly, for me, because, you know, I do fly a lot and I'm not a nervous flyer, but I started watching them and I ended up becoming completely fascinated because so many things have to go wrong for these big accidents to happen. It actually made me feel better about flying because it's pretty obvious after a while how rare it really is for there to be a true airline emergency.
Absolutely right. And the good news is that they do have massive checklists for airplanes, you know, that they run through and they check and double check and they take every precaution. I have looked at a couple of airline disasters, but just to shake up the series, I didn't want to do everything that went wrong. Mm-hmm. The opening possibility is, we look at what went right and what went wrong. And so in some cases, things do go right. And the case I did recently on episode 29 was flight 1549. Some people refer to that as Miracle on the Hudson. And that
sure.
was when, so they successfully ditched in the Hudson River and no one died. So, so despite all of those things, sometimes things do line up, they go wrong, but the outcome is still okay. And it's, So I try and balance it, and hopefully some people find it interesting. So
I'm so impressed with pilots at this point and flight attendants, you know, and people who build planes. Like, anyway, but as we said, we are a Star Trek podcast here, and Voyager is the same thing, really. You know, a lot of things went wrong, but then some things have gone right for Voyager. You know, obviously. or the show would have been over very quickly. But as you said, you've been a Star Trek fan, you know, from as far back as you can remember. Do you remember when Voyager came out as a series? And, you know, where were you in your Star Trek fandom at that point?
I was absolutely neck deep in Star Trek at that point. I was following everything that happened, which was, I suppose, at that time getting more difficult because Voyager came out as DS9 had been kicked off, which was really only briefly after Next Gen finished. So when I started out, obviously, you know, as most people of sort of, you know, our sort of generation did watching the original series, and I sort of, you know, there's some episodes in there that I really, really enjoyed and watched many, many times. But I have actually watched them all, but I don't recall all of them. But when I got to Next Gen, that's when I really kind of flipped and just kept, it became an absolute obsessive. I actually bought all of the videotapes, all the VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. A photo of my collection somewhere. I was doing a clean out and a few years ago, and well, quite a few years ago, about a decade ago, and my wife said, do you really need these VHS tapes? And I'm like, well, it's not always about need anyhow. So I ended up selling them. I actually got a lot of money for them because though it was a complete intact set. But anyway, so yeah, I love Next Gen. And then when DS9 came out, so I had mixed feelings because when they changed the format a bit, and I felt like DS9 kind of sort of deviated a little bit too much from sort of the formula of, you know, getting out there, new worlds to explore and new aliens and so on and so forth. And it was just not, I know that opening up the wormhole and having a lot of like getting the Dominion involved and all of that sort of shifted DS9's sort of flavor a lot. But what I love about Voyager and why Voyager is my favorite Star Trek series of all of them is that it took the original concept of the original series and it kind of took it as far as it could go. So you don't just go away from Earth for a little ways. You go right across the other side of the galaxy, the other quadrant on the other side. And that's and that kind of forces the story to be much more fresh and sort of like living on the edge. And I guess that more than anything is one of the reasons why I like it so much, and the characters obviously too.
That's a very good way of putting it. And it definitely is one of the things I love about Voyager because, as you say, it's fresh because they're constantly in a different sector of space and they have no, you know, they have no starbase station to like go to for repairs, or they can't just drop in to Starfleet Academy. And one of the things that I thought was interesting when you and I first started corresponding is we talked about the Voyager episode guide that I created. It's been a few years now since I put it out, but it was something that I just, you know, it just became kind of a passion project for me because I was kind of tired of people who looked down on Voyager and hadn't really watched it. And so they didn't really appreciate the characters over time or the story over time. And the fact, as you say, you know, that it's fresh and that interesting things happen week to week. And of course, yes, there's some bad episodes like every other series of Star Trek. And so what I wanted to do was like create a list of the episodes and mark the ones that I thought were really necessary to watch the entire series from beginning to end. Maybe, you know, people felt like, you know, they didn't have to watch everything or that they could skip over some that weren't that great, that, you know, I could help people become fans of Voyager too. And it's been interesting for me because once I created the list, people pushed back, you know, on certain ones that I said weren't worth watching or didn't need to be watched to understand the story arc. And I don't think I've changed any of them yet since I started, but there's a couple that I feel like I might need to change. But I was wondering if you had any you want to propose for a revision of their recommendation rating.
Sure thing. There's one in particular, but before we get to that, I just want to say two observations about your list. First of all, thank you for doing the list. It is It is awesome. And I like it because it very much aligns with a lot of my thinking. The other observation, though, about the list is that I noticed that a lot of the don't watches are in the first and second season, and more so the first half of the second season. And I feel like the problem with any series, I think, is that the first half of the first season, or even the whole first season, sometimes can be take a little bit of time for the characters to sort of, like, I don't know, to bed in and sort of get into the groove of their character. Like, I remember when Janeway started, for example, like, she was very a lot stiffer, a lot more rigid, and, you know, her evolution as she got more comfortable with the character, and I think maybe as the character's developing more of the reality that, well, I am this far away from Starfleet, I now have to sort of adapt my leadership style a little bit, however way you want to look at it. It definitely improved massively after the second season. So I think the rough guideline of that, like what you're seeing in there, I don't really greatly disagree with, is I guess what I'm trying to say. And I do appreciate the list because it does give you the ability to sort of skip. I mean, as a Voyager fan, I'd say don't skip any of them. But then, you know, when I saw, like, my favorite comment of yours about Favorite Son, for example, which was, please do not watch, you'll be very sorry, I couldn't have said it any better. So, yes. Maybe skip. There's a few others in there anyhow. But, okay, so the one I really wanted to talk about was the Voyager conspiracy. And you sort of put that down as a skip if it doesn't interest you. But for me, that to me is sort of one of the – for me, it's one of those relationship pivotal episodes for two of the characters. And yeah. So Seven and Janeway. So I sort of – because you think about when Seven first came on board, it was, you know, several seasons in, and she was really at odds with pretty much everybody, and took her quite a while to really develop functional relationships. I mean, you know, there were certainly some very tense relationships for quite a while, but in terms of an actual functional relationship that you could even call a friendship, that sort of thing took a very long time to develop. And it took several years, really, of watching her sort of, like, develop that relationship with Janeway. And for me, this episode in particular is sort of like where that comes to sort of a key pivot point, where it's like, okay, they, after all this time, finally, there is trust. And it's an interesting story in the way it unfolds. So I really enjoyed the Voyager conspiracy.
That's the episode we agreed to watch for this episode of the podcast. And I remembered it, like, because the title's pretty, it's memorable. And I remembered that, yes, it's about Seven, and that she figures out a way to pump a lot of data into her cortical node, and that's not necessarily a good thing. And that was clever. You know, that was a clever setup. So rewatching it, yes, the beginning, right at the beginning, I'm like, oh, yeah, here's things that I like, you know, about this episode for sure. There's and just to be clear, there's nothing I don't like about this episode. Like, and it's definitely, you know, you've picked a good one. You know, it's a kind of a classic Voyager, in that a lot of the characters are involved, and a lot of their various, you know, character traits are, you know, highlighted. But what I love, two things, the beginning of this episode, the opening where it's Naomi Wildman and Seven. And that's one of my favorite relationships, mainly the way that Seven always greets Naomi Wildman, you know, with her full name, like, Naomi Wildman, you know, what are you doing down here in the alcove or whatever? And I think that little actress is really good, who plays Naomi. And of course, Jeri Ryan is awesome as Seven. And so I was like, oh, yay, this, you know, Naomi's not in a lot of the episodes. I counted them up one time. It's, you know, but pretty many. And I almost always enjoy when she's involved. And then the first act opens with Janeway and Chakotay. And I love that. I love that scene with Janeway preparing dinner for Chakotay in her quarters. It's like peak Janeway, like the Janeway I love, of being warm and, but, you know, a little snarky and, you know, like, I'd like to hang out at that dinner. So then I was like, oh yeah, you know, I forgot about these little details of the story. So that's how it starts off, as 7 telling Naomi what she's planning to do, that she's figured out a way to access all this crew data or Voyager data that's been collected and have it at her fingertips, so to speak. And that sets up the problem, right?
And it starts really promisingly, because the first thing that she that Seven finds is she wakes up after having absorbed all this information and says, we need to turn off the sensor array because there's some photonic fleas loose in the system. Yeah. And everyone's like, hey?
First of all, photonic fleas. I just love the name. Photonic fleas cracked me up.
But the point is that it turns out to be correct. And so, you know, the first impression is, hey, this is really a good idea. Nothing could possibly go wrong with this. So that's sort of like, you're like, yeah, okay, so far so good. I'm comfortable at this point of the episode. Everything's going okay. And, you know, shortly thereafter, then they meet this Mr. Tash, and he's building this graviton catapult, which is kind of like a ship accelerator. You sort of like the ship just gets launched through it like a catapult. And it's just interesting premise. But then again, the whole series of Voyager started with something kind of similar, with the caretaker doing that sort of catapult, but in reverse. Because, I mean, I was thinking about this, like catapult in reverse. It's like, so I'm going to grab something from a very long way away and bring it towards me. It's not really a catapult, but anyway, right. It's okay. Let's split hairs, but but anyway,
yeah.
So that was interesting because he was trying to get back to where he came from, and because he got sucked in a wormhole and all that, and so he's building this catapult. Voyager comes across it again. So far, so good, you know. And so Seven, of course, you know, ingests all that information and. She then sort of like says, hang on, this is using the same technology that the caretaker was using, and caretakers were bad. Well, you know, and so that's when she starts digging into it. And that's, I guess, really where the conspiracy sort of plot starts from that point.
It's an interesting episode that it has no B plot, you know, or C plot. It really is just, I think, because the conspiracy stuff, you know, as you say, it starts off, it looks promising what she's doing. And then it's tense enough, like you wouldn't break into that plot, which involves everybody in the cast. Seven is, you know, having secret meetings with practically not everyone, but certainly, you know, she's talking to people, you know, about her findings. And it just starts to get, maybe one reason I remember it, like not enjoying it, is that it was very tense. And it's like, where is this going to end? So, I mean, the deal is like they're going to help. They help the alien guy whose name is Tash, I guess. And he to catapult his own ship. And then they will use the catapult themselves. But once Seven starts putting all these pieces together, then Chakotay's nervous. And then vice versa, you know, that was the best, I think the best part of it was Seven taking the exact same data and spinning it into two different conspiracies that were diametrically opposed.
That was pretty good because it, she pulls, I think it was the first one into astrometrics and disable all the microphones and everything. And, you know, she's having a one-on-one to convince like Chakotay that Janeway is working against them. And then the following day, exactly the same evidence. And it's the other way around. She's pulling Janeway in and saying, no, 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 Chakotay's going to resurrect the Maquis. It's all over. And both Janeway and Chakotay, despite everything they've been through, just like, they're like, maybe that's,
Yeah.
I'm actually buying this because it's Seven, right? You know,
Yeah.
It's just convincing, very convincing.
Yeah, it was maybe one of those times where Tuvok would have been the better first officer because he was the one who said that correlation is not the same as causation and you've got to show me some proof. That was a very Tuvok moment. I think one of the problems I have with this episode is that because there's no B plot and no distraction, it's a little repetitive, you know, of Seven getting more data and then coming up with yet another conspiracy, you know, and sharing it with yet another crew member. And then that pattern is repeated several times. And it started to get a little tedious. Like I wanted to see something happen. And then it does. Seven takes a Delta flyer I forget, why does she do that? What is she hoping to accomplish by leaving Voyager that way?
Her final conspiracy, the one where she finally flips out and loses it, is when her theory was that the Voyager landing up in the Delta Quadrant was entirely to extract her and to deliver her back to Starfleet to be dissected.
Oh, right.
And she's like, no, well, you're not going to get me because I'm going to get away from you, and if I have to destroy myself, whatever, then I will, sort of thing. And it's like, okay, she's lost it. That's it. And so the only way Janeway can sort of like talk her down off the ledge, well, kind of literally, is to beam over there and basically talk her down off the ledge. And and see, to me, that's the whole reason that the episode is so good, is that is the setup, and it is like it is a nearly an entire episode long setup. That basically leads to that one moment for me, which is priceless, mm-hmm. which is when Janeway finally sort of like connects with Seven and says, you know what, here's a list of all the star dates that all these things have happened, and, you know, I just need you to trust me. Just please trust me. And she sits there and she thinks about it, and she's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to trust you. And it's at that point you're like, right, there you go. And that has been years and years and years building up to that point where they'd actually reached that point in their relationship. And for me, they're like Janeway and Seven are the two strongest, I think, to be honest, characters overall in Voyager. And at that point of the series, obviously, mm-hmm. And just seeing that moment to me was just priceless. And that's why I love the episode so much, because it's worth it. I think it's worth it for that.
I agree. I forgot about that scene. I also really appreciated how they constructed that writing-wise, where the whole episode Seven has been just repeating stardates and saying, stardate, blah, 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 this happens, then stardate, this happens. And so they give that whole pattern of exposition then to Janeway, who, you know, recites star dates and things, good things that happen to Seven and to Janeway's and Seven's relationship. Yeah. Again, peak Janeway, where she's just an awesome captain. And yeah, I had forgotten how that relationship really got solidified and underscored in this episode. And I'm pretty sure I didn't rewatch it. Like when I was making the chart, obviously I didn't watch, like, I don't know if obviously, but I did not watch every episode of Voyager as I re-rated them. I rated the ones I could remember. And then where there were ones that I couldn't remember, I might rewatch them, or ones that I really loved, I rewatched them. And I think Voyager Conspiracy, I think I looked at that and said, oh, yeah, that's the one where Seven wigs out because she has too much data to process. It's super interesting setup, but I don't think you miss anything if you don't see that one. And now, having rewatched it, thanks to you, I'm like, oh, yeah, you miss a lot. And I would argue you also miss, so the episode wraps up where it began, Janeway and Chakotay, and you know, it's just a lovely scene between the two of them and saying like, yeah, let's never speak of this or let's not put this into our logs, how, you know, easily we accepted that the other might be undermining the whole mission. But I have to say, like, watching this episode, I'm like, I really am sorry they never really made Janeway and Chakotay a thing. And that it just, for me, highlights how poorly, you know, they went with Chakotay and Seven as a item that just never really worked. And that's, you know, obvious that they, to me, when you watch this episode, that while, yes, there's, you know, reasons that you might not want the captain and the first officer to be a couple, they could have dragged it out more. The kind of will they, won't they moments were too few in this series, in my opinion.
I think you're right. They could have teased a lot more out of it for sure, because the chemistry was there. It was real. It's just that, I don't know, for whatever reason. But I do really quite like the last thing I think they said in the episode was you didn't poison my pee, did you? And she's like, no more than usual.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to end it. And the other funny thing you mentioned about the start date quoting that Janeway was doing back to Seven, talking it down off the ledge. And, because, of course, you know, Janeway is not doesn't have the exact memory that that Seven has, all of the technology that Seven's got implanted in her head. Mm-hmm. And so she gets one star date wrong, and Seven just can't help herself. She had to correct her.
Yeah.
which was funny.
Yeah. I almost thought that Janeway intentionally got one wrong. You know, like sometimes that's a way to engage a person is to give them the opportunity to show off. And I wondered about that, but it was clever. It was very, very clever. I was wondering, Janeway had to have reviewed all this data herself. She couldn't have possibly had that all that information in that specificity, because she's not Seven. She doesn't have a Borg implant. It was great. It was a really great scene. I'm really glad I watched it. And you know what, John, I'm totally promoting this one on the list. I'm going to go in and to the spreadsheet, which is online, and I'll have put a link to the show notes for it and make sure that Voyager Conspiracy is rated a yes, absolutely watch, because there's great stuff in this. And I forgot. You helped me remember.
Well, you're welcome. I'm influencing the list one episode at a time. It's all good. The other thing, to move beyond Voyager Conspiracy as the episode, there are a couple other ones in there I sort of briefly looked at that that you said skip, but you know, if it didn't interest you, and just other ones that I enjoyed as well for different reasons. Like I actually quite enjoyed Waking Moments, which that was the one where they all entered that dream state and they couldn't snap out of it. And
yes.
I realized that the premise behind it is, well, pretty nonsensical. I mean, if you had a race of you know, people that just never actually woke up and always ever lived in dreams, and they have to feed themselves at some point, and otherwise long. But anyway, if you just casually ignore that problem, then I actually really enjoyed it. But it's sort of hard to pinpoint why. I guess kind of enjoyed the interplay between Chakotay and the Doctor. I thought that was really, really good.
We'll have to watch that for a future episode, John, because I don't remember. You know, like I just vaguely remember the premise of it, but. You know, the fact that you enjoyed it and are willing to overlook, you know, your typical kind of Star Trek suspension of belief, that makes me want to watch it again. So I'm like, I'm just highlighting it in my personal list of something to watch in the future. Because obviously I didn't hate it, or I would have rated it a no. And was there another that you wanted to talk about?
Just one more real quick. Ashes to Ashes, you said don't watch it.
I know,
but there's one line in it where Seven says, "Fun will now commence," and I'm like, oh, and then the rest of the episode's rubbish, and I'm like, okay, but it was almost worth it for that one line, almost. Yeah, so I actually do agree with you on that one. So, yeah.
I don't think it's a great episode, and also the idea of reanimating somebody's body and it's just creepy. And there's like kind of a body horror aspect to it that is just not my bag. Well, John, I just think this has been a lot of fun. I got to watch an episode that, you know, and see it through a new perspective that was really interesting to me, and with my favorite characters, of course, being really awesome in it. And I hope you'll come on the show again. Like I said, we can pick another one and figure out whether to promote it or demote it. So anyway, thanks again for being a guest on Voyager Revisited.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
And thank you, listeners, for being here. You can find Voyager Revisited online at voyagercast.com. Follow us on Twitter and on micro.blog at Voyager_cast. I'll be back soon with another guest to discuss Star Trek Voyager. Until then, time's up.